For Chasm Radio, I'm Farm Director Joe Gill. We have a chance for another update from St. Paul. A lot going on this session, as we have Senator Aaron Murphy joining us, the leader over there in the Senate. And Aaron, you know, it's been an interesting session. I know the House has received a lot of headlines, do so here as session began. But overall, from a Senate perspective, it's been interesting. But it seems like the Senate side, things are working maybe a little more smooth. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, it is a great observation, and it is real. We came into session, as so many of your listeners know, having lost a beloved member, Senator Dietzick. And with that loss, it put the Senate in a very rare tie. We are a body of 67 members. And so I did reach out to my counterpart, Leader Johnson, and we agreed that the best way for us to get the session started was to enter into a negotiation around power sharing. And we took that seriously. And over the course of 6 or 7 days, the senior leaders of our caucus negotiated an agreement that allowed us to get started on time. And while we've had now a special election and we've welcomed Doran Clark, Senator Doran Clark, into the Minnesota Senate, which has put us back in our majority, we are working across the aisle, as we say. We are working with our counterparts in the Republican caucus. And the mood, the tenor, and the work actually happening in the Senate right now is very collegial. And I think that is going to help us through what is bound to be a very difficult session.
I know sometimes that phrase gets tossed around, you know, working together and collaboration and such. And, you know, I get feedback from listeners, too, who still remember how the session last year ended. And I still think there's a level of disappointment there that I get from them. Is it time to move on past that, or is that still a wound we still have to try and fix and repair yet, do you think, Aaron?
You know, we have spent a lot of time in the last weeks repairing that. I think the power sharing agreement, the negotiations around that, and the continued work together, the recognition that we share responsibility together, the recognition that we share goals together, has allowed the Senate and my colleagues to move beyond what happened. I think everybody, you know, when we look back, we can see one another's part in that, and we don't want to get there again. I think that has been the unifying factor. We don't want to get to the end of session in that same state. And so we're working, I think, in a different way. People often talk about bipartisanship. That may be one description of it, but I think this is deeper than that. It is a shared commitment to the people of Minnesota, despite our significant political and policy differences, which is the normal state of what we do. But despite those differences, we understand we have shared responsibility for the people of Minnesota, for putting a budget in place. And so, like in so many ways, our own experiences as people, as coworkers, as family members, you have to recognize what happened, see your part in it, and then move on. And we have, and I hope Minnesotans come with us and hope they see in us 67 members who are doing their level best for the people of Minnesota.
Senate Majority Leader Aaron Murphy joining us here on Chasm Radio. You mentioned the word budget. We did get a new budget forecast here. For the near term, seems to be some dollars there, but in the long term, seems like there might be a deficit. What was your takeaway from the recent forecast?
You know, it showed once again that the budget that we put in place is stably balanced, and that we have some money on the bottom line, and we also have that nation-leading budget reserve, $3.5 billion, that allows us some protection if we see really difficult things coming from Washington, D.C., as this Congress moves through its agenda. And they are, you know, making a lot of, I think, moves that would suggest that they're going to cut Medicaid. They're already cutting jobs, et cetera. So we want to make sure that we are positioned to be able to catch some of that, though we can't possibly replace some of the federal funds that they're talking about cutting. So I felt some relief, I will say, when we got the forecast, because the budget is balanced. That gives us the ability to move forward, and, you know, we have a constitutional requirement to balance the budget into the next 2 years. We all see what could be a deficit in the tails, so 4 years out, and the work we do now will begin to address that. That is driven largely by the ways in which we are looking out for people who are aging, people with disabilities, people who need special education. We have been a leader in all of those areas, and it is something that has been, you know, in our budget for a number of years, and you can see it here. That means we have to make some choices, and I hope that we choose to continue to be the state that looks out for our vulnerable people. That is our goal. But there is no doubt that we have a challenging budget with a lot of uncertainty coming from Washington, which is going to make our job harder.
There's two different approaches to it, where a Democratic message is, let's all focus on federal issues and how it relates to Minnesota. Republican message seems to be, well, we need to focus on our own backyard and the issues we have in the state. The word fraud and those programs and that topic comes up. So it seems to be two different perspectives on where fingers are being pointed to explain the current situation. And some people get that from the outside looking in. Is that any validity to that? It seems like there's kind of two different tails to the tape there.
Yeah, I think that it is sort of the normal way in which legislative bodies articulate their perspective, their narrative, and what they believe is happening. I appreciate what my Republican colleagues are saying. I understand what they're saying. But we can't close our eyes to what we're seeing happening in Washington, D.C. The House Republicans passed a resolution that calls for cuts of $880 billion in a budget that contains Medicaid. And there isn't a way to achieve that number without cutting Medicaid. It is $11 billion worth of spending in our budget for people who are disabled, for our children, for pregnant women, for people who are aging. That's a significant concern for us, and I don't think we can ignore it, and I think we have to tell Minnesotans about that. And we also know that Minnesotans are already experiencing, whether it is the loss of a job, the breaking of a contract, the shutting off of funds. You know, we just saw it this week for farmers and schools and for food. We lost $18 million in the blink of an eye. That has real impacts here. And it is hard to, you know, account for those changes that are coming so quickly and what it means for the state's budget. So I think we are trying to tell Minnesotans what we're actually facing so they can come along with us and they can understand what we're trying to accomplish when we balance this budget. There is a chance that we will have to come back in the summer or the fall to act on changes that come from D.C. I don't want Minnesotans to be surprised by that. I don't want Minnesotans to think we didn't do our job. I want them to understand with us what we're hearing, experiencing, and seeing. And I think it's important for Minnesotans to understand that there are things happening in Washington, D.C. that are impacting right now families' budgets, their livelihoods, and our future. And we do need to talk about that.
Senator Erin Murphy joining us here on CHASM Radio. How does the situation in the House affect what the Senate can do? We got that tie in the House. And does that, it seems to be a considerable roadblock as we look as the session continues. How do you kind of factor that into your day-to-day in the Senate?
Generally speaking, in the way in which we do our work, the Senate moves forward as a body, the House moves forward as a body, and we meet when we get to the time in the session where we're in conference committee, and we establish them together with the administration. Agreed upon targets that serve as the last part of balancing the budget. It is a really unusual situation in the House. I'm glad that the special election has happened and that the House is going to come back to full power, and it will put them in a tie. And we're just going to have to, this is the moment for us, I think, as leaders, to show Minnesotans that we are capable of navigating any difficult situation. I have a good working relationship with both the leaders in the House, with Speaker Emerita Hortman, with Speaker Damas, and with Leader Johnson in the Senate. We are, the four of us, going to have to guide our caucuses through a difficult, I think, negotiation. And I just hope that everybody comes to that negotiation with the same goal of balancing the budget for the people of Minnesota, that we do it with Minnesotans across the state in mind, that we do our very best job to protect the vulnerable, our jobs, our communities, our families and livelihoods, and we finish on time. That would be our goal in the Senate. I think it is possible, but it means setting aside some of the harder questions that people might want to bring to a negotiation, in order to just focus on what we need to get done.
Look forward to visiting as the session moves along, and I wish you a good day and a good rest of your week.
Thanks for having me this morning. I hope you have a great day.